Scripture reading for this morning comes from the New Testament of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will gather before Him, and He will separate people from one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those at the right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are the members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? It did not take care of you." Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So ends the reading.
Today, we celebrate a special feast day, the feast day of Christ the King, the last Sunday of Advent. Next Sunday will be a new liturgical year. This comes to us from Pope Pius II from 1925. He named this special day in response to a growing nationalism and secularism in his world. And then in 1970, Pope Paul VI placed this feast day as we have it today, the very last day of the liturgical year. Pope Paul wanted to emphasize the game-changing dimension of what it means that Jesus Christ is King. So here we are today. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel, and it's very late in the gospel. It's right before Jesus' passion. My Bible has a title on it called The Judgment of the Nations. Other Bibles have a title called The Last Judgment. In our reading, Jesus is seen separating sheep from goats. Jesus is described as a king on a throne, and he's rewarding his servants, the people that are part of his realm, according to their adherence of his command of passion. This passage comes in the last great teaching discourse of Matthew. It's part of a long section about the end of the world and the time of completion. It follows numerous parables about being ready for whatever is coming and whenever it will get here. A thief in the night, a slave and a master, foolish bridesmaids who were not prepared, and slaves, like last week, that were trusted with much by their master while he was away. These are stories about judgment and being prepared. Now, I'm a mom, so I kind of get the prepared stuff, right? Probably many of you too. You need to get it together and you need to get it organized and you got to do it right now. So I get that part. I get that part. It's the judgment part that's hard for me. I was raised in a Christian tradition that was built around almost exclusively the notion of my overwhelming sinfulness, my unworthiness, and the impending judgment of God. I would love to pretend that this gospel reading is not in some way about judgment, but that would be neither true to the text nor true to our need to wrestle with these words. I think our discomfort from the idea of judgment, at least in my case, goes back to history. It goes back to the history of religion and judgment. And I believe they were very unhappily married. In fact, doesn't Jesus have a lot to say about our judging one another, our excluding some people who are sinners, or at least a certain kind of sinner? I don't think the Bible is a book, like a math book, with all the answers in the back. I think we're called by God to wrestle with these ideas of judgment. But the thing about it is that we have this foundational belief. We have a trust in the goodness of God, in the grace of God, and we can listen to what the United Church of Christ calls the still speaking God, and we can hear him speak. And that God calls us to participate in the new reign, this unfolding reign of God. And it also talks about freedom, but freedom that comes with a responsibility. The responsibility part, that reflects the reality of how we live together in community, not completely on our own. We are not, despite our brashest claims, truly self-sufficient. And the freedom part says that we can choose. We can choose to participate in a community, or we can choose to do nothing. For me, the awesome thing about King Jesus' judgment is who Jesus singles out. And it's interesting. Those who treated others with compassion, who served those who were in need, alone or despised, they were singled out by Jesus. And Jesus surprised them. And I love that part because they didn't know it. They did not realize that they were visiting or feeding or clothing. They only saw a fellow human being that needed help, and they responded. The good they did was not to gain favor or position or recognition. It was their response to what God had done and what God was doing in their lives. The goats were also surprised. They seemed to think they had been doing things right all along. And they argued with Jesus. They were surprised at the king's judgment. Jesus said they had done nothing when they had saw their brothers and sisters suffering. Many people believe this passage is about believing in God so that you can go to heaven when you die. Many Christians talk about little else. I think it's way more than that. N.T. Wright, in his book, Surprised by Hope, says that the Bible speaks only a little bit about going to heaven when you die, and even less about hell. He reminds us that the continuous talk about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's gospel is not about a place, heaven. It's about something entirely different. It's about God's sovereign rule breaking into this earthly realm. The Bible's central message is not about believing in God so you can go to heaven when you die. In fact, in Matthew, belief in this passage today, belief in itself is not sufficient for the disciples. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus laments that many people will call him Lord, Lord, but only those who act on his ethical teachings can be his true followers. At the end of Matthew, in the Great Commission, Jesus does not say, make disciples of only those who believe that I am the Messiah. He says, teach them to obey everything that I command you. Now, if you think the question is, am I going to heaven? Will I be saved? Am I a sheep or a goat? I think we're reading Matthew just a little bit wrong, and we've kind of missed the point. I think most of us are less concerned about the end of the world, and we're more concerned about the end of the month. I think we come here to this place, to this church, for strength for the journey. Maybe for a spiritual nudge to help us in our struggle and help us on the path for what awaits us this week. The question for me is not what happens at the end of things. It's what am I supposed to be doing right now? What does Jesus want me to be? What does Jesus want me to be and to do? And how will my life be different if Jesus Christ is King? The conflict over the Lord, over who is Lord, is acted out in our lives even today, even though Rome is long gone. The world still wants us to worship all that is not God, and our culture rewards us for that. But the conflict between the two kings, one of this world and one of the divine, this becomes clear for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us and shows us that the usual things that people elevate as God, power, wealth, celebrity, fame, are replaced in the kingdom of God by the supreme values of service, of love, of self-sacrificing, of being in a faithful community. Life in God's kingdom is not about self-aggrandizement. It's about service. It's not about big words. It's about actions. Live in God's kingdom is not about what we have or who we are. It's about what we do. It's not about the world's values, it's about God's values. One of my favorite authors, Barbara Taylor Brown, she has a book, it's called The Altar of the World, and she talks about this. She talks about when she was in seminary, and she wanted God to tell her what she was supposed to do with her life. She said she prayed hard, she asked often, and the result, she says, was this. God told her, do anything that pleases you and belong to me. St. Augustine says something quite similar in another prescription. He says, love God and do what you will. Now, to a selfish person, that could be license to print money. Do anything you please, do what you will. Have a party, knock yourself out. Except, I'm pretty sure that's not what God was saying to Barbara Taylor or to St. Augustine. The takeaway from this announcement, this pronouncement, is absolutely not believe in me and act like a goat. Matthew has all the groups sorted out very neatly, doesn't he? And I think we all know that life is a little more complicated than that. And that's that judgment thing once again. Instead, I propose that we go with this message. If you love God, if your values are God values instead of world values, if Christ is King, then you will love God and you will love as God loves. You will give as God gives and you will forgive as God forgives. If your values are God values, you can't help but live the way Christ taught. Now, how are things going to end? What happens when I die? What happens when you die? I don't know. And I'm pretty sure most of you don't know either. But I do know something really, really important. And that is that we know the God that is shaping the story. We know that if Christ is King, we know that Christ, Jesus, waits for us at the end of that story, of our stories, of my story, and that he will see us, and he will know us, and he, and that if we've done what he has taught us to, he will claim us as his own. And I think that is enough for me right now. And I hope that is enough for you too. Amen.